Cleaner, Episode 1, The List, by Inga Gammelgaard Madsen. Translated by Martin Reib. Narrated by Chris Jenkins for Saga. It was a bit too wide across the shoulders, and it smelt of new leather and tobacco. It was the colour of brandy, and it gave a slight creak when he bent his arm to greet the others in what they referred to as their gang sign. It involved first hitting their own chest with a fist, then bringing the index and middle fingers to their right temple, and then fist-bumping each other individually. Jack had come up with it. He really got off on rituals, on any sort of compulsion, really. That had earned him a diagnosis, and he no longer had to do any work. He was the eldest of their group, and was supposed to have become a carpenter's apprentice in the autumn. But then his mum dragged him off to see a psychologist because of his weird urge to count everything and repeat the same motions over and over again. With something resembling pride in his voice, Jack had told them that the psychologist called it OCD. Now he had something the others did not. Bertram wished he could get a diagnosis as well. He had been looking for work ever since he completed his Year 9 exams, having decided long before that not to go to high school afterwards. But there were not many jobs available. That was when he met Jack and the others. The Hawks, they called themselves. It was a not too subtle mockery of the so-called Night Hawks, a nationwide group of private citizens who patrolled the streets at night to help keep the peace. Hawks were intelligent and fierce. They preyed on other birds and came armed with a variety of sharp appendages. The Night Hawks were just a bunch of people who stayed up late.
"Damn, amazing jacket you got there," Felix said, looking mighty impressed, and for once taking his eyes off the glowing screen on his tablet, which made his face look even more pale and ashen than it did elsewhere.
"Where the hell do you get that?"
Jack let the cigarette smoke seep out of the corner of his mouth, eyeing Bertram sceptically.
"Yeah, where'd you nick it?"
Casper asked, hitting the bullseye dead centre.
"At the restaurant,"
Bertram admitted, sticking his hands in the pockets of the jacket and trying to look tough.
"It's an expensive brand, this. Shot, made in USA.
I had no idea Sexy Eva catered for such a select clientele," Jack said with a crooked smile, knocking the ash off his cigarette.
Bertram always got annoyed when Jack referred to Eva Mayer in that way. He never called her mum. He thought that sounded childish. He didn't appreciate the way Jack looked at her either, as if he were a grown man with a world of experience when it came to women. He had only ever had one girlfriend, and it only took a week for her to get sick of him. What Bertram felt most like doing was punching Jack in the face, but he knew that that would most likely be a bad idea. His compulsion to repeat the same motion over and over was lethal when he found a use for his fists. Besides, he took boxing lessons. He claimed they were therapeutic. As usual, Bertram buried his anger.
"Do you think the handler will want to fence it, though?"
asked Casper, who was the reason why the handler was constantly hounding them. It was nicer that he was able to sell the things they nicked, but that balding, fat old bastard was getting on Bertram's nerves. He kept interfering way too much. It was almost as if he had them under surveillance. Why couldn't he just do his own burglaries? Bertram didn't trust the handler, and the handler didn't trust the Hawks. It had been way more fun at the beginning, when they were alone, and when shoplifting had just been a game. Of course they made some money from their burglaries now, but it came at a price. "I don't want the handler to know anything about it."
"You want to keep it for yourself, then?"
Casper looked surprised. Bertram sat down next to Jack on the wooden deck facing the stream. The sun had decided to bestow something on the April day that almost felt like springtime. He still appreciated the jacket, though. The wind was still chilly. He looked up at the ornamental rainbow atop the Arras Museum, where the visitors were mere specks behind the coloured glass. The rainbow looked like a UFO had landed on top of the massive square building that housed the museum. It was as if space aliens were biding their time behind the glass, planning their attack on the city. At night, when he couldn't sleep, because he usually slept until noon.